the 2015 teaching series in Canada. Life as Practice, Practical Instruction to the Lay Practitioners. Speaker Kenpo Tsultrim Lodro. For more lectures, please visit our official website www.luminouswisdom.org.
各位法师，各位佛友，大家晚上好。首先，请大家发菩提心。Good
evening, to all teachers and Dharma friends gathered here tonight. Let's listen by first generating an aspiration of bodhicitta.
菩提心，我们前几天也讲过了啊。 简单的给大家介绍过了，什么叫做菩提心。Over
the last couple of days, we've talked about what bodhicitta entails.
所以大家应该知道，大概知道这个什么是菩提心。So
everybody probably has an idea now of what we mean by bodhicitta.
简单的说，我们这个烧香拜佛的时候，或者是修路补桥。 慈善、福利，就是参与这样子的事情等等，任何一个时候，我们都要发菩提心，以菩提心作为出发点。Putting
it simply, whatever kind of positive conduct we engage in, whether it's making offerings of incenses or helping others or engaging in charitable activities, our departure point, our primary motivation should be that of bodhicitta.
比如说我们打坐的时候，或者是烧香拜佛的时候，要首先要观察一下我们自己的动机，比如说我们捐钱，去修庙，或者是做慈善，或者是说我们自己在打坐的时候等等，每一次在这样子的时候呢，我们 首先要问问自己，我为什么要打坐呢？我为什么要捐钱呢？我为什么要烧香拜佛呢？我的目的是什么呢？就是要这样子观察一下自己的动机。Every
single time that we engage in some kind of Dharma conduct, whether it be making an offering of incense, or donating some money, or engaging in a session of meditation, we need to begin by examining our own minds and asking ourselves what our motivation is for engaging in this particular action. Why are we doing it?
那么这个时候我们会发现，我们的动机就有三种，其中一个。
When we do this, we'll discover that there are three potential motivations.
这三个是上等的动机、中等的动机和下等的动机，也就是三种不同的发心。These
three motivations are three levels of aspiration that we might potentially have. The highest motivation, a medium motivation, and a more modest motivation.
那么下灯的这个动机是什么呢？比如说我们为了自己的健康，为了长寿，为了发财，为了工作顺利，或者是为了家人的健康等等，就是为了这一点，我们捐钱做慈善，或者是说我们烧香拜佛大作这样子的话，那这个动机是很世俗的动机，下灯的动机。
So the lowest, most mundane, most worldly form of motivation is when we engage in a particular Dharma act, whether it be meditation or making an offering, donating money, etc., for the sake of our own benefit in this life, whether that be our material enrichment, good health, the well-being of other members of our family.
当我们观察自己的动机的时候，如果我们发现我们的动机是这种动机的话，那么这个时候我们及时把这个动机要盖过来，就是要发菩提心呢，等等，因为这样子的动机是非常的世俗的，在这样子的动机的基础上，我们心善。 那这个山就功德不是很大，所以我们要改变这个目标。
If when we examine our mind, we find that our motivation is this lowest kind of meditation, then, motivation, we should seek immediately to adjust this motivation, to aim higher, to make our motivation one of bodhicitta. Any good acts or positive conduct that is undertaken with this lowest form of motivation is extremely limited in terms of the merit it generates.
那么有些时候呢，当我们观察我们自己的动机是什么这样子的时候呢，我们会发现我们虽然不是为了健康长寿，但是为了我自己一个人的解脱，比如说我不愿意再流转这个轮回我想解脱，但是呢我只想我自己一个人解脱我不想利益众生不想度众生，我就想我自己一个人这个解脱。
It's possible when we inspect our motivation that we might discover we are engaging in our practice or in a particular kind of positive action, not for mundane or worldly benefits, but for our own liberation. And this liberation, however, is only that of our individual souls. It's not the liberation of other beings.
那么这个动机就叫做小乘佛教的动机。如果我们发现我们的动机是这样子的话，那么这个时候我们发现的时候要立即就要改变就要发菩提心。
This scope of motivation belongs to the lower vehicle. If we discover that this is in fact the scope of our motivation, we should definitely seek to adjust it right away so that our motivation instead becomes one of bodhicitta.
然后最理想的这个发心就是菩提心那么我们去观察自己的发心的时候，如果我们发现我们的动机是为了一切众生我要成佛，就是为了成佛我要去烧香拜佛，或者是我要去这个闻思修心这样子的话，那这个动机就是最上等的动机，最好的动机就是这样子，就是菩提心。
The highest and the most ideal scope of meditation is bodhicitta. So ideally, when we inspect our motivation for engaging in meditation or engaging in one of the threefold actions of study, reflection, and practice, we should most desirably find that our motivation is one of practicing for the ultimate liberation of all beings.
我们大家都自称是修大乘佛教的但是如果没有菩提心的话，那我们根本就谈不上是修大乘佛教的。
All of us call ourselves students of the Mahayana tradition. However, if we lack bodhicitta, then in no way do we qualify to describe ourselves in this way.
因为这个当今社会每一个人都是很自私的每一个人都是很自私的，每一个人都为了自己着想利他慈悲等等这些在我们的这个生活当中或者是我们的这个价值观当中，就是尤其是在我们的教育当中很少，所以呢我们每一个人都非常的自私的。
In our contemporary society, every single person is extremely selfish. They are only concerned for their own interests. Values such as altruism and helping others, compassion, are rather absent from contemporary values and particularly absent in the education system.
在这样子的时候呢，我们要发菩提心是非常难。这个非常不容易的，这个是有很大的挑战但是呢我们一定要想办法战胜自己的这个自私心。
Given these constraints, it is difficult for us to generate bodhicitta. However, we really need to apply ourselves to surmounting our inherent selfishness.
我们眼前的啊幸福或者是痛苦，这一切就会很快的会过去的。
All of these ephemeral happinesses or short-term happinesses that we see in front of ourselves will disappear very quickly.
这一生当中，我们拥有一个很幸福的生活也好，或者是很艰苦的生活也好，都是很短暂的，都是很短暂的，都是会很快就会过去的。
Whether or not we have an extremely happy lifestyle or life in this existence, or whether it's a rather difficult one, in either case, it will pass very quickly. It will be over very quickly.
但是未来的路真的是非常非常的遥远这是我们的真正的这个路很长远的这个路，不是我们这一生的生下来的。几十年或者是十几年，而是未来的下一世、再下一世这样子的这个路是非常非常漫长的。
However, the true path of our future stretches ahead for a very long time, and this is a path that is not limited to the several decades of this existence, but one that extends to all the future lifetimes that will take place in after this one.
所以我们应该为我们的未来就是要做一些准备。
So for this reason, we really should be putting in some kind of preparation for our future lifetimes.
那么最好的这个准备是什么呢？就是修菩提心。
And the best kind of preparation we can make is the generation of bodhicitta.
那么我们发心的时候呢，首先不要考虑自己我们就是要为一切众生成佛，或者是要度一切众生，发一个这样子的心这样子的话就可以修出一个非常好的结果。
So when we're casting our aspiration, we shouldn't think of ourselves. Our aspiration should be the benefit of all living beings. And if we're able to generate bodhicitta in this way, we'll be able to reach a very good result.
虽然是目的，我们的目标是为了一切众生或者是利他，但是呢，实际上呢，首先要解决我们自己的问题，这是因为为了更好的利益众生，首先要解决自己的问题。
Even though our ultimate aim is to be of benefit to other living beings, we need to start by resolving our own problems, and it's only by doing this that we will be in a position to more effectively assist other living beings.
如果我们首先把自己的问题不解决的话，那么我们发心发得非常的好，但是在实际上呢，我们能够做的能够做到的这个事情是非常非常非常非常小，我们几乎就不能利益什么众生。
Without addressing our own problems first, then even though our aspiration to help others may be very good in itself, our actual substantive capacity to do so will be very restricted.
好，这样子呢，我们就是为了利益众生，为了帮助一切众生。首先我要把我自己的这个烦恼都解决把这个我们的自私心从根本上就解决。这样子以后呢，我们没有这个自私，没有这样子的烦恼的时候，我们可以更好的去投入利益众生的这个事业当中。
So it's in order to be of better benefit to other living beings and to be able to better help others that we need to first go about addressing our own delusions, our own difficulties, and our own selfishness. It's by addressing these that we will be in a better situation to be of assistance to others.
那么首先要解决自己的问题，怎么解决呢？我们昨天也讲过了我们要去寻找我们为什么这个轮回我们为什么 不愿意衰老也得要衰老不想死亡也要去死亡，也要面对死亡不想病痛也得要去接受这个病痛的痛苦。那么这些的原因是什么？我们首先要去寻找这个原因。
In addressing our own difficulties, in seeking to overcome them, we need to start off by looking at why it is that we must age, even though none of us have the desire to do so. Why we must die, even though none of us have the desire to do so. And similarly, why it is that we get sick when none of us want to get sick. It's to these questions that we need to really apply our energies of inquiry.
然后找到了这个根源的时候呢，然后第二步第二个步骤就是我们去寻找解决这个问题的方法寻找解决这个问题的方法。
And after we've turned our mind to this first stage of questioning, the second stage is moving on to looking for means, for strategies to solving, for solving or resolving these problems.
然后方法找到了以后呢，我们要去把这个方法去落实，要去实践这个就叫做修心。
And once we have discovered, or once we have found appropriate methods or strategies for resolving these problems, the next thing to do is to implement these strategies, and that is what we refer to by the term of practice.
那么这样子的话，我们的这个佛教佛教的核心佛教的核心的思想或者是它的这个最终极的目标是什么呢？就是利益众生，但是利益众生的前提的条件就是把自己的贪嗔痴等这些烦恼从根本上解决。
So while the ultimate goal of Buddhism or the core ideal of Buddhism is to work for the benefit of other beings, the precondition to being able to do this is to first address our own delusions, our three key negative states of attachment, anger, and ignorance.
所以佛教徒不能迷信佛教徒佛陀也是非常的反对迷信，因为这种盲目的信仰这种盲目的信仰它是没有任何的逻辑的这个根据那么没有这样子的根据的话，那么就是我们自己随意去相信某一件事情，那么这个事情的对和错我们没有办法去确定，那这样子的话非常非常容易走弯路会走火入魔。
Students of Buddhism can't afford to approach their Buddhist study and practice with an attitude of blind faith. In fact, the Buddha strongly opposed blind faith for the very reason that this is a kind of faith that is not underpinned by reason or by a strong logical foundation. Without knowing actually the reasons for or against doing something, it's very easy to go off on the wrong path.
那么这样子的话，我们真心或者是知心，知心就是以智慧作为基础，作为出发点的这个心性这叫做知心。那佛教这个提倡的这个信仰就是知心，而不是迷信。
The kind of faith that the Buddha advocated was one that is underpinned by wisdom or knowledge, as opposed to one that is blind and blind in nature.
所以佛教认为我们的这个所有的问题，就是因为我们自己不了解这个世界的真相，不了解我们自己的内心的这个真相导致的这些烦恼，或者是导致了更多的这个痛苦。
From the point of view of the Buddhist tradition, in fact, all of our suffering and all of our pain derives from the fact that we don't have a proper understanding of the world around us, and nor do we have a proper understanding of our own selves. This is the cause or the source for all of our problems.
所以佛教的核心是就是两个字啊，佛教讲八万四千法门，那么这个八万四千个法门的这个内容全部啊，可以归纳为两个字，两个字就是智和悲啊，智慧和慈悲。
Actually, the entire contents of the whole 84,000 paths in the Buddhist tradition can be condensed into two words, wisdom and compassion.
为什么是两个字呢？智慧可以解决我们自己的所有的这个烦恼，然后呢，慈悲可以解决其他众生的烦恼，这叫做自利利他。这个如果有智慧，有慈悲，这样子的话，智和悲的结果是什么呢？就是自利利他。
Why is it these two words, wisdom and compassion? Well, wisdom, with wisdom, we are able to resolve our own delusions, resolve our own difficulties, and with compassion, we're able to resolve those of others. So this accords with the notion of benefiting oneself and benefiting others.
那么我们这一生当中啊，拥有一个这样子的机会去学佛、去修心啊，这样子的这个机会是非常非常难得的。所以啊，我们有这样子的机会的时候呢，我们一定要想办法找到这个佛教的核心的东西。
Since the fact that we have this opportunity to study and practice Buddhism is extremely rare and precious.It's vital that we apply ourselves to discovering what is the essence of the Buddhist teachings.
千万不能走弯路啊！弯路是什么呢？就是我们啊，比如说很多地方也有以藏传佛教的密宗的名义，然后就是降神说鬼，然后降各种各样的神通，然后以神通作为。一个手段然后就以这个藏传佛教的秘法作为一种借口来做各种各样的这个事情，这些事情呢跟智慧和慈悲没有任何关系的这样子的事情，那么这些都不叫佛教。
We can't afford to go off along incorrect paths. These days there are a number of people or organizationscarrying the banner of Tibetan Buddhism or Tantric Buddhism and making all kinds of claims, particularly in relation to magical powers, etc., and using these as means to attract people and carry out all kinds of activities. However, these kinds of organizations and these activities have no connection whatsoever to genuine wisdom and compassion.
佛教不是用来给我们赚更多的钱的，佛教是用来给我们解决我们的生老病死，或者是我们的精神上的各种各样的烦恼这个就是佛教的作用。佛教存在的这个价值，它存在的理由是什么呢？就是因为它能够解决我们的内心的问题它能够解决这个生老病死的问题，这就是佛教的作用这个佛教的这个存在的价值。
Buddhism doesn't exist in order to assist us in making more money. Its primary value and its fundamental meaning is in helping us to eliminate our mental suffering, to help us resolve the fundamental problem of cyclic existence. This is the fundamental and the ultimate value of Buddhism.
所以我们首先必须要知道什么叫做学佛什么是学佛，这个非常重要，这个我们首先要搞明白。
So the first thing that's extremely important is that we have an accurate understanding of what it means to be a student of Buddhism, what it means to study Buddhism.
那么学佛就是向释迦牟尼佛学习这个就叫做学佛那么向释迦牟尼佛学习什么呢？就学习两个字向释迦牟尼佛的智慧学习向释迦牟尼佛的慈悲心学习，这两个就叫做学佛。
To study Buddhism is quite simple. It means to study the Buddha's example. And in terms of what we mean by the Buddha's example, this is again very straightforward. It is the study to study the Buddha's wisdom and the Buddha's compassion.
不管是大乘佛教的显宗啊、密宗，还有这个藏传佛教的密宗，都是一样。他们的这个表达的方式不一样，有些时候他们的修行的方法也有所不同，但是呢，他们的目标就是这个智慧和慈悲，就这两个。
Whether it's the sutric tradition or the esoteric tantric tradition, these two fundamental values of wisdom and compassion are exactly the same. The different traditions may express themselves differently and there may be differences between their practices, but ultimately these are two fundamentally common points.
好，那么这个智慧呢，有三种智慧，佛教里面就讲三种智慧，第一个是闻啊，听闻佛法所获得的智慧啊，然后第二个呢，思就是思考啊，通过思考获得的智慧，然后第三就是修啊，通过修心所获得的这个智慧，这三个就叫做闻所得的智慧、思所得智慧、修所得智慧，就这三个智慧。
The Buddha's tradition talks of three kinds of wisdom or threefold wisdom. The first being the wisdom that is attained through listening or hearing the Buddha's teachings. The second being the wisdom of reflection, the wisdom that we attain from reflecting on the contents of the Buddha's teachings. And the third kind of wisdom is the wisdom of meditation or practice, the wisdom that we derive from actually putting these teachings into practice through meditation.
好，如果我们真心的想学佛的话，那就是要学这三个智慧啊，就是要去寻找这三个智慧。我们不要去就是搞什么神通啊、求神求鬼，然后就希望这个归身拥有归身的帮助，然后通过这个帮助我们接触归身的力量啊，就是为了自己的这个赚更多的钱，或者是健康，或者长寿等等，这些世俗的动机、世俗的手段，都是跟佛教一点关系都没有。所以呢，我们如果自己不想学佛，就是要这些东西的话，那当然是这个是自己的选择。如果你是想学佛的话，那么不能这样子。学佛就是要学慈悲和智慧。
If we want to be sincere students of Buddhism, then it's to these kinds of wisdom that we really need to apply ourselves to searching for this wisdom and applying ourselves to practicing it. Looking for magical powers or seeking the intervention of various ghosts and deities to help us in achieving all kinds of mundane and worldly aims has in fact nothing to do with the goals of real Buddhism.Of course, everyone has the entitlement to pursue these ends if they want to, but this is not being a genuine student of Buddhism.
好，那么这个三个智慧当中啊，最后真正能够解决问题的就不是这个前面的两个，就是最后一个，就是我这个修所得的智慧，我们通过修心所获得的这个智慧。这个智慧才能够解决我们的所有的问题。
Of these three kinds of wisdom just mentioned, it's not ultimately the first two kinds that are really able to resolve our difficulties. It's the third kind of wisdom, the wisdom that's generated from practice, from meditation, that is what is able to really help us in overcoming our suffering.
好，这一章呢，我们简单的给大家介绍这个发菩提心，还有为什么要发菩提心啊，就是这些概念。
So we've just talked about bodhicitta, what it is, and how we go about generating it.
接下来我们就讲今天的这个题目。今天的这个题目呢，就是修心，就是我们的一生的事业。
So we're going to move on to the main topic for this evening's teaching, which is practice as a project for our entire lifetime.
修心我们修一年修两年也不一定有很大的这个结果啊，但是只要我们能够坚持啊，不要放弃啊，这样子能够坚持的话，那么修心啊，一定会有收获。
Practice might not be something that we receive very clear results from over maybe 1 or 2 years of practice. However, it's something if we're able to commit ourselves to for the long term, we are sure to see results with.
那么修行人啊，就要分三种修行人：上等的啊、中等的、下等的三种啊不同的修行人。那么上等的修行人呢，他会每一天都会有收获的，每一天都会有新的收获。
It's possible to divide practitioners into three categories: the highest kind, a medium kind, and a lower kind. The highest category of practitioner is someone who every day enjoys results from their practice.
第二，中等的修行人，中等的修行人，他没有这个每一天的这个收获，但是呢，他会有每一个月就会有新的收获。这一个月啊，比上个月不一样啊，下一个月跟这个月也不一样，他每一个月都会有啊新的收获。
Medium level practitioners may not see results every single day from their practice, but they will witness results every single month.
那么下等的修行人，就是最差最差的修行人，也如果自己不放弃，只要能够努力的话呢，那就是他也会有每一年会有新的收获。
The lowest level of practitioner, as long as they don't entirely abandon their practice, are sure to see results every single year.
那么什么叫做收获呢？啊，什么是进步？什么是收获呢？啊，学佛的收获。不管是每一天的收获，或者每一个月的收获，或者是每一年的收获，这个收获和有收获和没有收获的标准啊界限是什么呢？比如说我们啊最差的修行人啊，那么从去年到今年这两年的这个过程当中啊，那么比如说我自己的啊这个贪心啊嗔恨心。嫉妒心啊，还有就等等这些烦恼啊，那么没有每一天都减少，也没有每一个月都减少，但是呢，就是去年跟今年啊这两年当中呢，有一个比较明显的变化，有明显的减少啊，这个是这个这个进步的啊进步和收获之一。
So how do we go about assessing what results from practice mean and how we are to understand practice in progress in our practice? Well, we really should understand progress and results in terms of our negative emotional states like anger, desire, jealousy, etc., and whether or not they have reduced in their scope vis-a-vis this time last year. We may not see great changes from day to day or necessarily from month to month. However, if we can say that there has been a discernible reduction in these negative emotions, say from this time last year to where I am now, then this is one clear indicator of progress.
这是第一个标准啊。第二个标准呢啊，就是每一天也好，每一个月也好，或者是每一年也好，啊，就是在这个过程当中呢，就增长了自己的慈悲心和智慧啊。比如说最差的修行人啊，从去年到今年这两年的过程当中啊，今年我的这个智慧啊和这个慈悲心啊，比去年啊有所增长。有所增长啊，有一个比较明显的变化， 这样子的话就是有有收获有进步。
Another indicator of progress is an increase in our compassion and wisdom. Similarly, if we're able to say that we have a discernible improvement or increase in our compassion and wisdom in respect of where we were at this time last year, then we can say that this is a clear sign of having results or having made progress.
如果我们每天呢、啊，就是一个小时到两个小时左右的时间啊，能够用到这个文思修，尤其是这个修心啊，这样子的话，那么至少我们啊，就每一年的这个收获呢，一定会有的，最差的人也会有的。
If we're able to allocate between 1 or 2 hours every single day to study, reflection and practice, and particularly to meditational practice, then even a practitioner of the lowest level is sure to see results within a year.
好，这样子的话，我们大家都知道这个修行的重要性。
So from this, we can really appreciate the importance of meditational practice.
那么修行它也有次第啊，我们做任何事情都有一个顺序。有一个次第，那么先做的后做的这个不能颠倒，我们还是要按照这个顺序，按照这个次第去做的话，那么这个事情比较容易成功。
Our meditational practice has a graduated, has graduated stages, and we really need to follow the appropriate order of these stages and not mix them up andget the order incorrectly. By following the proper path, by following the proper order, we're guaranteed to obtain good results.
好，那么这个次第是什么呢？我们前几天啊，就我们每天都讲过这个事情啊。第一个修思加行，修出离行；第二个步骤呢，就修菩提心啊，还有其他的这个无加心，除了菩提心以外的这个加心啊。然后第三个呢，我们修这个空心啊，这三个是一步一步的修，这个次第就是不能颠倒。
So in terms of the order of these gradual stages, we talked about these over the previous evening. So we begin by cultivating renunciation and practicing the four thoughts that turn the mind. From here, we move on to the rest of the preliminary practices and the cultivation of bodhicitta, and from here, move on to cultivating a correct view of emptiness. And it's important that we adhere to this proper order.
好，接下来我们给大家介绍一个禅定的这个修法，一个具体的修法。因为这个禅定的修法呢，我们修空心的时候是非常重要的。
So I'm going to go on now to introducing to everybody a meditation practice, a shamatha practice. It's very important in terms of our overall cultivation of a correct view of emptiness.
好，这样子我们修禅定的时候呢，我们把这个整个这个修禅定的过程分三个阶段。第一个阶段是预备的这个工作，就是潜心。然后第二个阶段是主体的修心第三个这个阶段是结尾这样子的话，我们每一次打坐就要分这样子的三个这个阶段。
Every meditation session that we engage in, we should divide into three stages. The first being the preparation stage, the second stage being the core practice, and the third stage being the concluding stage.
好，这样子的话，首先我们要介绍一下这个这个禅定的预备的修法也叫做潜心潜心的修法。这个潜心呢，不是思加心和无加心我们每一个打坐，每一个这个禅修，都有他自己的这个潜心就是走在前面的一个预备的工作。我们首先给大家介绍这个修法。
So we're going to start off by describing the preliminary stage of meditational practice. These preliminaries are not to be confused with the preliminaries we talked about yesterday evening. In fact, every meditational practice has its own preparatory or preliminary stage.
好，这个禅修啊，这个禅修的假行前行的这个修法呢，要分三个，里面有再分三个，一个就是身体的姿势。第二个就是呼吸，第三个就是我们的这个内心当中的就是心的一个观相啊，就这三个，身体的姿势、呼吸、观相啊，大家要注意这三点。
So this first preliminary or preparatory stage, we can further divide into three stages. The first being that related to body posture, the second to breathing, and third being our mental visualization.
而首先啊，身体的姿势要做毗卢七法，毗卢七法就是说有七种身体的姿势。这个姿势呢，对我们初学者啊，刚刚修禅定的人来说啊，非常重要的，一定要以这个姿势打坐修行。
To start with, in terms of bodily posture, we should adhere to the seven point postures of Vairochana. These postures are extremely beneficial to beginners or newcomers to meditation, and we should do our utmost to stick to these guidelines.
七个姿势当中，第一个姿势腿要盘腿方便的话就要盘腿。但是如果腿受伤或者是其他的原因实在是不方便盘腿的话，那就是坐在椅子上，坐在沙发上打坐也可以的，但是呢最好盘腿打坐，这是第一。
The first posture, the first point of posture we need to observe is sitting cross-legged. If you are injured or is that there is some other reason why sitting cross-legged is not possible or is not comfortable, it's also possible to sit on a couch or sit on a bed. However, it's preferable, if possible, to sit cross-legged.
好，第二个身体的姿势呢，大家要看到这里啊，我们左手这样子放下面，然后右手就放在这个左手的手心里面放上面，然后两个大拇指这样子碰头两个大拇指这样子碰头，我们可以看到很多佛像的这个收音就是这样子的然后呢这个叫做禅定的收音这个就是禅定的收音，然后这个禅定的收音做好了以后呢，就放在肚脐下面的四个手指的地方，叫做丹田就是放在丹田这地方这样子，这是第二个姿势。
The second point of posture we need to observe is holding our hands in the meditation mudra. So, cupping our right hand into our left, touching our thumbs together, and then holding our hands at a place approximately three fingers below our navel or in the position of the lower cinnabar field.
好，第三个姿势呢，两个胳膊要这样子张开。这样子张开不能这样子打坐，这样子打坐呢身体不舒服，时间长了以后就会很难受的这样子这个两个胳膊张开，这是第三个姿势。
Our shoulders should be raised and our arms slightly open. This is the third posture.
第四个身体要端正端正，不能向右歪，不能向左歪，不能向前先后歪端正。但是这个端正呢，也不要太用力的去端正，就是自然放松的端正。
The fourth posture is to sit with straight spines. So we shouldn't be leaning to the left or right or leaning forward or back.Sitting straight is something that we should try to do naturally and not in a forced manner.
好，第五个姿势， 头啊稍微往前啊头稍微往前这样子啊但也不能这样子啊就不能这样子低头稍微往前啊这样子这是第五个姿势。
The fifth posture is that our chin or our head should be tucked slightly forward, not too much, but just a little bit.
第六啊，眼睛我们平时要看这个从看鼻尖啊，佛经里面讲鼻尖，也就是鼻尖，就是也并不是说要看这里，但是呢，往朝这个方向看，往下看就是。眼睛要半闭的状态，半闭的状态，好吧？我们很多人这个打坐的时候就喜欢闭着眼睛打坐，但是这个是不对的，不能闭着眼睛，半闭的状态往下看，往前看啊。我们可以看到，这个很多很多的佛像都是这样子的，往下看，半闭的状态，眼睛就是半闭的状态，啊，为什么不能闭着眼睛呢？闭着眼睛的时候我们看不到很多东西啊，感觉好一点就是稍微心能够平静一点但是呢这个时间稍微长一点五分钟十分钟以后呢就困啊，最后就睡着了啊，修不下去的所以眼睛不能闭着啊，只能半闭的状态。
Our eyes should be half closed and gazing past our nose to a point either in front of us or slightly below us. We can often observe many Buddha images when seated in meditation posture have their eyes half closed and gazing past the tip of their nose. It's important that we don't close our eyes because even though this can bring somefeeling of concentration to begin with, it's something that if we continue with for 5 or 10 minutes, we'll simply feel drowsy.
好，第七，那第七就是呼吸。呼吸呢，通过口腔和鼻孔啊，这个正常的，也不要跳快，不要跳慢啊，正常的呼吸。然后舌头。低着上颚啊，就放在这个上面的牙齿的牙根啊，这地方这样子正常的呼吸啊，这七个叫做毗卢七发啊，我们最好啊打坐的时候这样子打坐，为什么要这样子的姿势呢？这样子的姿势会帮助我们啊心平静下来啊，所以对初学者来说还是很重要的。
The seventh and last posture that we, or point of posture that we should observe is, relates to our breath. So with our tongues, the tips of our tongues touching the palate of our mouths, we should breathe through our nose and mouth in a natural way, not in a forced way at all. And observing these seven points of meditation posture are extremely advantageous to students who are setting out, with meditation practice in the beginning because of the benefit they bring to us in being able to calm our minds.
好，第二个呢就是呼吸啊。那么第二个呼吸是什么？就是要我们把我们的这个打坐的时候啊，我们的这些垃圾情绪，用佛教的话来讲，就叫做烦恼啊。就是这些负面的情绪、垃圾的情绪，把这些所有垃圾情绪要清空啊，要清空。为什么呢？这么多的垃圾情绪啊，就是我们的心里装的满满的，这样子打坐的话，那么心就是静不下来。所以把我们内心当中的这些所有的垃圾情绪清空啊，清理干净，然后再打坐，这样子就效果好。
The second stage of our preparations relates to our breath. And what we need to do using our breath is expel or purify our negative emotional states. In general, our minds are cluttered with all kinds of negative emotional thoughts and feelings. And in this cluttered state, it's very difficult for us to calm our minds and proceed with meditation. So it's important that we expel these thoughts and emotional states.
那么什么是垃圾情绪呢？这是我们的贪、嗔、痴，还有这个虚荣、傲慢啊、攀比，还有就是压力、焦虑、恐慌啊等等等等，就是这些烦恼啊，叫做垃圾情绪啊。这些情绪我们一定要清空啊，否则的话，这些情绪会影响到我们的这个大作啊。所以大作之前把这些都要清理掉。
What do we mean by negative emotional states? Well, these include our attachment, our anger, our ignorance, but also things like pressure, vanity, arrogance, fear, competitiveness, etc. If we don't cleanse or purify ourselves of these negative thoughts, then our meditation practice will be detrimentally impacted.
就像我们吃饭的时候，首先把碗洗干净啊，洗干净了以后呢，然后把东西倒在里面啊吃啊。同样的，我们修行的时候呢，首先把我们自己的内心当中的啊这些负面的这个情绪啊清理，然后再去修啊，这样子的话就效果会明显一些。
It's just as when we, or before we eat a meal, we will clean the bowls or plates from which we're going to eat on. So too with our meditational practice, we start off by clearing our minds of disturbing thoughts, feelings, and moods.
好，然后呢，这个清理的这个方式，具体的方法呢，一个是呼吸，另外一个就是观想啊，通过呼吸和观想，通过这两个方法来这个清空啊这些垃圾情绪。
We go about ridding ourselves of these negative emotional states through using breath and visualization.
好，清空的方法啊，首先是我们讲这个呼吸怎么样呼吸，大家看到这里啊。我们首先把这个左手啊，这个有点收拾啊，要做这个收拾。首先这个左手的倒数的这个第二个手指叫做无名指啊，那么我们的拇指大拇指摁住这个无名指的指根啊。为什么要摁住呢？这个有很多佛经里面讲很多的理由，但我们先暂时不着急学这个。首先我们啊，就做这个动作，把大拇指摁住这个无名指的指根，然后呢，其他的这个四个手指放在大拇指上面啊，这样子，这叫做佛经里面这个叫做金刚拳啊，这是一种拳头啊，左拳头。然后啊，我们的这个左腿和右腿的腿根由动脉和经脉啊，动脉和经脉，动经脉。然后这个啊，做好这个手势，做好这个拳头以后呢，啊，就摁住腿根的这个穴脉上面啊，大腿的腿根啊，这样子，左手就先做这个手势。
So in terms of our hand posture, we start off by making a Vajra fist with our left hand, which we do by pressing our thumb to the base of our fourth finger, our ignorance finger. We close our fingers over and we make a fist, and then we press this fist into the channel of our inner thigh on our left leg.
然后右手啊，右手大家看到这里啊，右手也是一样的，拇指大拇指摁住无名指的指根啊，然后食指要伸出来啊，这样子，其他的都是跟刚才一样。然后手心朝上啊，先放在这个膝盖上啊，先放在膝盖上。
And then with our right hand, we do the same thing, making a Vajra fist, except this time we extend our index finger and then rest our hand on our right knee.
然后大家看到啊，然后我们这个右手啊，就摁住这个右边的鼻孔啊，摁住右边的鼻孔，然后深深的吸一口气啊。没有摁之前啊，吸一口气，然后再摁住啊，摁住了以后就没办法吸气了啊。好， 然后呢，深深地吸了一口气以后，然后从左边的鼻孔当中啊排出去，这样子。好，这样子一次、两次、三次，排三次啊。然后这个时候呢，最主要的是什么？就是观相啊，观相，观相什么呢？我们刚才讲的，我们的烦恼啊。啊，这个垃圾情绪，各种各样的垃圾情绪，就变成了一个黑色的气体啊。这个气体就是又脏又黑，就变成了一个这样子的黑色的气体，从我们的左边的这个鼻孔当中啊排出去啊，这样子观想啊，观想的同时就排气啊，排气一次啊，先排一次，排完了以后呢。啊，又松开啊，再吸一口气，然后又排啊，然后又松开，吸气又排，这样子三次。
We then, through our right nostril, we inhale once, and then bring our index finger, the index finger of our right hand to our nostril. We press it, we close it over, and then we expel the breath from our left nostril.While we're doing this, we do the following visualization. We visualize that all of the negative emotional states that we mentioned before take the form of a black vapor, a filthy, putrid black vapor, and that we are expelling these negative emotional states through our left nostril when we breathe out. We perform this breathing exercise and visualization exercise 3 times.Between each time, we exhale once and inhale again without visualizing, and then we perform the visualization where we see our negative thoughts as black vapor.
然后左手完了以后呢，左右手再换啊，右手啊就是这样子，刚才这样子，右手就是做这个手势，然后从左边啊排气排一次、两次、三次，这都是完全是一样的。观相也是一样的。
So we do this 3 times first with our right hand on our right side, and then we do the exact same thing on the left hand, using on the left side using our left hand.
然后这个完了以后呢，左右手两个手这样子，大家看这里啊，左右手两个手同时做这个金刚拳头，然后同时就摁住。左右腿的腿根的动脉和静脉上面摁住，然后吸一口气，吸一口气，然后左右两个鼻孔同时排气啊，排气一二三这样子排气，然后观想的方法都是一样的啊，那这样子一共就是9次啊，排出5气，然后呢最后我们观想我们的身体就是变成了一个非常纯洁的非常清净的干净的就像一个玻璃杯啊，洗得干干净净一样啊，把所有的垃圾情绪所有的负面的这些情绪全部排出去现在我们的身体变成了一个非常透明非常纯洁啊的一个这样子的身体啊，这样子观想
So after having performed the, having expelled our negative mental states 3 times on our right side and 3 times on our left, we then make 2 Vajra fists and press both of our fists into the channel of our left and right legs. And we breathe in and expel our negative mental states in the same way we've done before, 3 times.And after having done this, we then visualize our bodies as extremely pristine, transparent, clean vessels.
然后我们就恢复啊，这个七毗卢七法啊，这个做完了以后呢，恢复啊，第三个呢，观想啊，第三个就是观想我们。在我们的前面啊，观想一尊释迦牟尼佛的佛像啊，就是观想一尊释迦牟尼佛， 然后就是在莲花座上啊，观想一尊释迦牟尼佛，然后我们把我们自己的根本上师啊，有一个根本上师也好，或者是有几个也好，这些上师跟释迦牟尼佛融为一体啊，观想在我们的前面。
So after we finish this stage, we resume our seven-point meditation posture and move on to the third stage, which is a visualization. We visualize in front of us an image of the Sakyamuni Buddha and also our root teacher, our primary teacher, or our, if we have several, then all of those teachers as one and the same as the Sakyamuni Buddha.
然后这个释迦牟尼佛观想好了以后啊，释迦牟尼佛观想好了以后呢，我们向释迦牟尼佛祈请啊，祈祷释迦牟尼佛，祈祷什么呢？啊，祈请释迦牟尼佛加持我，我在这一座当中能够修出禅定啊，就释迦牟尼佛祈祷释迦牟尼佛加持我，我在这一座当中就能够修出禅定啊，这样子祈祷，然后念啊释迦牟尼佛的名号啊，或者是释迦牟尼佛的心咒都可以的。
So after we have brought the Sakyamuni Buddha to mind through visualization, we then make a supplication of the Buddha that he may give us his blessings in this meditation session so that we are able to attain meditative equipoise.
好，这个平时我们不需要太长时间，大概就是五分钟时间啊，五分钟左右就可以了。然后这个就祈祷完了以后呢，然后我们再观想啊，释迦牟尼佛从边缘上慢慢慢慢的就会化光，化光的意思呢，就是变成一个光，最后啊，整个释迦牟尼佛的佛像就变成了一个很小很小的这个光的明点，也就是一粒豌豆这么这个小的亮点啊，这叫做光的明点。最后就是释迦牟尼佛在我们的面前的空中，就是变成了一个很小也很小的亮点啊，最后这样的观想。
So we don't need to visualize the Sakyamuni Buddha in this state for very long, maybe 5 minutes or thereabouts.And from there on, we visualize the Buddha becoming luminous, glowing, and then contracting in size until he is the size of a luminous pea or a luminous pearl.
然后这个光啊，这光我们再观想啊，进一步的观想，这个光从我们的头顶啊进入我们的身体啊就。在心间啊，就是这个光到达这个心间，这个时候我们就观想我们的心跟释迦牟尼佛的智慧融为一体啊，融为一体。然后呢，我们就这个安住啊，安住的意思呢，其实我们还没有证悟的时候，还没有证悟空性的时候呢，我们还不知道什么叫做真正的安住啊。那么这个时候的所谓的安住，其实啊，我们暂时啊，就一两分钟当中放下所有的杂念啊，什么也不想，就什么也不想，就在这个当中啊停留一下啊，这个叫做安住啊。我们还没有证悟的时候呢。只能这样子。
And this small glowing pearl of light, of luminosity, we visualize descending into our bodies through the crowns of our head and descending into to the point where our heart is. And at this point, we visualize the Buddha's wisdom commingling with our own mind so that they become one in the same, one in nature.And at this point, we then abide or rest in this state. Until we have achieved awakening, we are not in a position to really understand the true meaning of abide or what it means to abide. But for the time being, what it means is just to rest in this state, not thinking about anything else, and simply to abide with one's current state as it is.
好，这个安住呢，我们啊没有修这个初步或者是初学者刚刚修禅定的时候呢，就在这个当中啊，只能就停留一分钟、两分钟，啊。不能坚持很长时间，那但是没关系，我们一两分钟就够了啊。这个一两分钟完了以后呢，然后我们再出来，出来以后啊，再一次的发菩提心啊，我要为了度一切众生，所以我一定要成佛，所以我现在啊就要开始修禅定了啊，就是再一次的发菩提心。
For newcomers to meditation, it won't be possible to rest or to abide in this natural state for any more than 1 or 2 minutes, but this is fine. When we find ourselves coming out of this state, we simply recast our aspiration of bodhicitta, that we aim to achieve Buddhahood for the sake of all living beings, and it's for this reason that we are engaging in meditation practice.
好，这一上啊叫做这个我们大作分三个阶段里面的第一个阶段，也就是潜心啊，大作的潜心，从身体的这个毗卢伽伐，身体的姿势，到最后我们这个发菩提心啊，在这个之间我们刚刚介绍完的这一切都叫做这个禅定的前行啊。那么这个前行呢，我们不管是修私家心、无家心啊，或者是修其他的这个禅定，都需要的。任何一个禅定在这个前面呢啊，必须要经过这些，这个大家一定要啊记住。这个我们对一个修行人来说啊，对一个大作的人来说，这个非常的重要的。
So what we have just described are the first three, stage of preparation for any kind of meditational practice. These three stages that we've just described: the 7-point postures of meditation, the expelling of negative emotional states through using our breath and visualization, and finally our visualization stage.Any kind of meditation or practice, whether it be the preliminaries or other practices, all need to begin with this kind of preliminary stage.
好，这个第一个阶段啊，完了以后呢，然后就是第二个阶段。第二个阶段是禅定的主体的修法。
So from here we move on to the second stage, which is the core meditational practice.
然后这个禅定的主体的修法呢，有很多很多种啊，就是佛教里面，尤其是这个藏传佛教的密法里面呢，有这个禅定的修法很多种啊，种类相当的多。那我们今天呢，就是介绍一个仙宗、密宗的这个佛经里面，对，不过都共通的一个，都提到的一个。这个禅修的方法啊，禅宗里面也讲过，密法里面也讲过的一个这样子的，大家公认的一个禅修的方法。
Of course, the number of or the range of meditation practices or meditation styles that exist are extremely numerous. What we're going to talk about or what we're going to introduce this evening, though, is a meditation practice that is common to both the sutric and tantric traditions.
然后这个修法呢我们就心首先把这个前面我们讲的这些都结束了以后结束了以后呢，然后心静下来心静下来，我们开始舒呼吸开始舒呼吸。那么舒呼吸的时候呢，我们这个呼吸这两个就作为一个数字一个数字一个呼和一个吸作为一个数字。那么这个数呼吸呢数呼吸的时候就不，这个呼吸不需要调快，不需要调慢，在正常的情况下我们怎么呼吸就怎么呼吸这个一个呼和吸两个 就是一个数字，作为一个数字，然后这个数字我们从一到七啊，一二三四五六七，从一到七啊，数这个呼吸。
So we move on now to the counting of our breaths. It's not necessary at this, in this practice to, regulate our breath, our natural breath in any kind of way to accelerate it or to slow it down. We just breathe as we normally would. And we count our, in every inhalation and exhalation. So one inhalation and one exhalation together constitute one count.And we count our breaths up to seven.
那么数呼吸的时候呢，我们全身关注啊，所有的注意力就集中在这个数字上面，从一到七的这个数字上面啊。那么我们从就是数从一到七这样子数这个数字的时候呢，虽然还不是完全没有。啊，没有念头，这个时候也有念头啊，有念头，因为有念头我们可以输，如果根本没有念头的话，那我们没办法输了啊。虽然是有念头，但是呢，这个时候呢，就只有一种念头啊，我们没有太多太多的念头，只有一个念头，一个念头呢，就是输呼吸的念头，所以这个时候我们心啊比较能够专注。
During this practice, we focus all of our concentration onto the counting of our breath. While, of course, counting breath, does entail some amount of conceptual thought in order to be able to count our breaths, the fact that our attention is so concentrated onto this task alone means that we are able to focus very, very, very fixedly.
那么这个数呼吸呢，只能数到从一到七啊，七以后呢，我们再回来又从一到七啊，这样子，啊，不能八九十啊，二十三十五十这样子数，这样子数为什么不可以呢？因为这个数字数多了以后呢，然后又我们的注意力又会分散的啊，又比较容易分散，所以呢，从一到七这个数字不多不少。比较合适啊，然后先从一到七数，数完了以后呢，又回来再从一到七啊，这样子数。那么我们一般的情况下就数啊，每一次打坐的时候就前面呢、啊、就数一下这个呼吸啊，比较啊这个就比较帮助我们能够心平静下来啊。那一般的情况下我们就数。三个七啊，三个七，先数一二三四五六七，然后再回来又数七，然后又回来再数个七啊，一共就是二十一。但是这个二十一不是我们一直都八九十这样子数，每七个数字就作为一组啊，然后一共就这个数三个组啊，三组数字啊，这样子。
So when we're counting our breath, we need to do so in rounds of seven or in groups of seven. When we have completed seven counts, then we can return back to one again. The reason that we don't continue counting beyond seven, say eight, nine, ten, and so forth, is because doing it this way, our minds are likely to wander very easily. So we aim to count 21 breaths, but to do this in three rounds of seven.
然后小乘佛教里面呢，小乘佛教的禅定里面呢也有这个数呼吸，然后数呼吸的时候呢，有一些其他的比较稍微比较复杂一点的这个观想啊，但是我们现在这个是一个非常简单的一个啊数呼吸的方法，因为这个时候呢只有数呼吸，只想这个数字。然后其他的都不需要去观想，不需要去思考，所以只数这个数字就可以，所以这是一个非常简单的一个方法。
In the Theravada tradition, there are some more complex techniques of meditating using the counting of breath. But for the purposes of this meditation practice, it's a very simple practice, and all we are concentrating on is counting the breaths, the counting itself.
好，然后这个时候呢，我们的心啊，虽然有啊有念头，有活动啊，我们的精神有它的活动啊，它的活动没有完全平静下来，没有完全的停止，还在思维。但是呢，只有一个思维啊，相对而言，这个时候我们的心是很平静的啊，非常的平静的。虽然有这个数呼吸的这个念头啊，不断的在数啊，不断的在活动，但是相对来说是非常非常平静的啊。这个我们可以感受，到时候大家打坐的时候啊，会感受到非常的平静啊。我们的心就是有一个这样子的功能啊。第一个功能呢，它可以往外面去分析判断啊，可以这样子。然后第二个功能呢，它正在这个分析判断思考思维这样子的时候呢，它非常的清楚自己的状态啊。这个叫做这个功能就叫做在这个佛经里面就叫做自知自明啊，自知自明就是他非常清楚的知道自己的状态，非常的这个明白啊自己的状态，这是我们的心的这个功能啊，就是这样子。他一方面可以观察外面的这些东西，也可以感受到外在的这些事情。同时他也知道他自己的这个感受啊，同时感到自己的感受。比如说我们的手啊，借助到外面的这个空气冷气的时候呢，我们的手可以接收，可以感受到冷气的这种啊很冷很冷的这个感受。同时我们的这个感受知道什么叫做冷啊，一清二楚啊，这个就是我们的内心的一种比较特殊的一种功能。
So while we are practicing this meditation of counting our breaths, we do still have mental activity. There is still conceptual thought process taking place, but because it's concentrated on this one activity of counting our breaths, it's focused on this, we experience actually a relatively great sense of mental calmness. Our minds have, in fact, two abilities or two functions that they're capable of performing. The first is the ability to perceive and analyze phenomena in the outside world. And the second is the ability to be aware of what one is perceiving or examining. And it's this second capacity that is described as introspective awareness. So it's like our hand is able to feel temperature, whether it be cold or hot. At the same time, we're able to be aware that we are in a state of perception.
好，然后这个时候呢，我们的心啊，一方面可以数这个数字，另外的一方面呢，它可以感受到一个非常平静的状态啊。这个感受到很平静的状态，这个就是禅定。
So, in counting our breaths, on the one hand, our mind is able to focus on counting. At the same time, our minds are able to experience a state of great calmness.And it's this is what we refer to as mental equanimity.
然后有些时候呢，我们这个打坐的时候，在打坐的前面就在这个早起的时候，就只数这个呼吸三遍就可以。那么如果自己喜欢继续数这个呼吸感觉比较好的话呢，那比如说我们打坐打一个小时的话，那么这个一个小时全部都数这个呼吸都可以的。
So this practice of counting our breaths in rounds of seven is something that we can do three times as an initial stage of another meditation practice. Or if we are so inclined, we can practice this counting of breaths in rounds of seven for an entire meditation session lasting up to an hour.
好，这样子拼经的时候，那然后我们的心去感受到它的这个拼经啊，尽量的心啊静下来啊，专注安住啊。所谓的安住呢，就是维持现状啊，维持这个拼经的状态啊，这个叫做安住。
So in counting our breaths and observing the calmness of our mind, we abide in this state. Abiding here means simply to maintain this state of calmness.
好，这是一个啊，然后另外一个呢，我们啊，比如说我们准备修一个小时这个的禅定，那么前面的啊十几分钟呢，我们数了这个呼吸啊，那呼吸数完了以后呢，接下来还有一个啊，还有一个禅定。
So, let's say that we're going to engage in a one-hour meditation session. After we have performed three rounds of seven counting of our breaths, we still have the core meditation practice ahead of us.
好，这个禅定当中呢，我们要这个要关注啊，要关注三个字，一个是我们的念头的单胜啊，这是第一个。
单胜。
单胜意，生。
Oh.So the first thing we need to do is observe the arising of our thoughts.
然后存在啊，存在就是当一个念头出来了以后啊，还没有消失的这个阶段叫做它的存在。
And after a thought has arisen and before it is extinguished, we talk about the existence of our thought. So the second thing we observe is the existence of thought.
然后第三个就是自知啊，或者自知或者自明都可以，自知。自知是什么呢？啊，平时啊，我们的心里有无数的这个杂念啊，无数的念头，有诞生，有毁灭，有存在，啊，一会儿有就产生一个开心的念头，然后存在几分钟、几秒钟，然后又消失，然后一会儿又是一个不开心的这个啊这个念头诞生了，诞生了以后呢，又存在了啊五分钟、十分钟，然后又消失了。但是这些过程呢，我们都没有去关注，所以我们不知道的。
We then observe the cessation or the ceasing of our thought. At any given point in our minds, there are all kinds of thoughts arising, abiding, and ceasing. Some happy in nature, some shorter in nature, some longer in nature. But in the ordinary course of events, these are not things that we really pay too much attention to.
那么现在呢，我们啊，跟我们的这个平时不一样。现在我们关注我自己的这个念头的诞生和它的存在啊，这样子的时候呢，我们这个非常清楚的看见啊，一个念头诞生了啊，然后呢，非常清楚的感受到哦，这个念头现在是存在的啊，然后也非常清楚的。知道这个念头消失了啊，就是要关注这三个啊，念头的诞生啊，念头的存在，然后第三个呢，就是知道它的存在，感受到它的诞生，感受到它的存在啊，叫做自知啊，就是这三个阶段啊，要关注这三个。
So what we are doing here is observing these three stages of the duration of conceptual thought. So the generation or the arising of a thought, its existence, and then its ceasing or cessation. What we have to do is attend to these three stages.
然后有些时候这样子的话呢，我们就全神贯注的去看我们自己的这个念头啊，这个时候非常简单，它没有其他的方法，也不需要其他的方法，就把我们的心静下来，看它自己啊。这个所谓的看，不是以我们的视觉来看，不是我们的听觉，不是触觉，而是我们自己的心啊，他可以看到他自己啊，然后。他就让他自己去关注自己的状态啊，让他自己去关注啊，他的单身啊，然后呢，有单身还没有毁灭的这个阶段，就叫做存在啊，存在的时候，或者是用佛教的这个词的话，很多时候叫做生住啊，住就是存在的意思啊，存在它还没有消失啊。单身了还没有消失，这个中间就叫做逐啊，生和逐，然后就知啊，知就是知道的知，生逐知啊。如果我们用三个字的话，就是生就是单身啊，逐就是存在，然后呢知就是感受到他们的单身，感受到他们的这个存在啊，就是这三个。
So these three procedures of observing the arising, the abiding, and attending to being aware of these processes is what we need to do by using the mind to observe itself. In fact, observing our thoughts is not something that we do by employing any other kind of external means or by employing our visual.Sense or our sense of touch or our sense of sound is something that we use the mind to. We use the mind to observe itself.
我想我们用六个字的话，就是表达的比较清楚一点啊。单身啊，单身，其实生和单身都比较好理解啊，都很清楚的啊。单身啊，不管它是一个善的念头啊。或者是恶的念头啊，或者是不善不恶的念头啊，它是什么念头，我们不需要去管它，不需要去在乎它，我们就去看啊，什么念头诞生了啊，就是要关注这个啊，诞生了，诞生了还没有消失的时候呢，我们只知道它的存在就可以了啊，这就叫住，关注它的住啊，关注它的存在。然后关注它的这个消失，但是呢消失这个时候不是最重要，这两个就可以了。然后第三个呢，如果用两个字的话说的比较清楚一点，知就是自知，实际上就是我们刚才讲的自知自明啊，自己清清楚楚的知道啊自己的状态啊，这叫做这个自知啊。那么这样子呢，我们单身啊，存在，自知啊，就要关注这六个字。
So in terms of thoughts, observing thoughts as they are generated or as they arise, all we need to do is attend to their arising, whether they're positive in nature or negative in nature is not something we should be concerned with.Simply the fact of their arising. And then in terms of our attending to the abiding or the existence of thoughts, we're really paying attention to the fact of the thought as it is, after it has risen and before it has dissolved. In this practice, we're most concerned with the arising and the abiding of thoughts and less concerned with their extinguishment. And then the third point, which isawareness, introspective awareness, refers to knowing or observing extremely, with extreme clarity, the state of the arising and abiding of our thoughts, using the mind to observe itself.
因为我们在生活当中啊，不关注我们自己的这个精神的状态，所以啊，有太多太多的杂念啊，杂念横飞，然后就根本就没有办法，就是没完没了的，没办法控制，就是无限的这个啊，就生起各种各样的杂念。
In ordinary life, because we're not accustomed to really observing our mental state, we are usually overcome by a great many disturbing thoughts and distracting thoughts. They are extremely abundant.
然后我们现在啊，就是回头往里啊，感受他自己，感受我们自己的精神的状态啊，这样子的时候呢，我们会发现啊，就是。有些念头啊，比如说稍微比较不开心的事情啊，或者是某一种不太合理的这种想法等等，这些念头啊，非常奇怪的啊，有一个非常奇怪的现象。奇怪的现象是什么呢？我们不管住它的时候呢，我们的念头就是无限制的啊，就是没完没了的啊，就会。会这个出现啊，然后我们去关注一下它的时候呢，很多很多的杂念。当我们发现啊，诞生了一个念头的时候呢，我们还来不及啊观察、关注它的安住，它自己就消失了。很多很多的念头都是这样子的。
In terms of negative thoughts, whether they might be an unhappy thought or a somewhat irrational thought, if we don't attend to these thoughts, if we don't observe them, then under the ordinary course of events, they will simply multiply and go on in an infinite kind of sequence. However, if we are able to turn ourselves to be introspective and to be aware of these thoughts, then we will find that they quite often dissolve or disappear of their own accord.
然后有些时候我们啊很郁闷的时候啊焦虑的时候不开心的时候就大大这样子的作啊这些郁闷啊不开心的这些念头诞生的时候，如果你发现啊。它的诞生啊，它立即就会消失的啊。当然，这个是不是很严重的这些不开心啊？非常严重的不开心呢，我们没有那么容易不能这样子就解决的。但是，一般的这些杂念都可以这样子来解决，它自己就自生自灭。我们不需要去加以任何的啊这个任何的这个对峙。只要知道它的诞生啊，然后它就会消失的。
In general, thoughts of thoughts of anxiety or worry or depressed thoughts, if we are able to sit down in meditation, we will find that as soon as we're able to pay attention to the arising of these thoughts, they will extinguish themselves of their own accord.So this is something, a process that we don't need to employ any other kind of antidote or countermeasure in order to get rid of these thoughts. As long as they're not extremely entrenched or serious in nature, then they will arise and disappear, dissolve of their own accord.
好，这个我们这个禅定的修法，主体的修法就有几个阶段。第一个就是数呼吸啊，第二个就是观足啊，它的这个生和足啊，第三个呢啊，就像我们去观察的，就观足的时候呢，这个念头它自己消失了啊，自己消失了以后呢，就是无影无踪啊，然后它消失了以后呢，我们。就跟踪啊，到底消失以后的状态是什么样子呢？消失了以后是什么状态呢？啊，就感受一下这消失的这个瞬间啊，就是当这个念头消失了， 另外一个念头还没有诞生的时候啊，就是在这个中间呢，就是一个非常平静的状态啊，非常非常平静的状态，就像我们蓝天啊没有乌云啊的时候一样，没有乌云的时候一样，就是啊一片虚空，是一个非常宁静的状态啊，是一个非常宁静的状态。那么就在这个宁静的状态当中安住，所谓的安住就是保持这个状态。
So after we have first counted our breaths and calmed our minds, and then engaged in the stages of observing the arising of our thoughts and the abiding of our thoughts, we move on to observing the stage between the moment when one thought dissolves and another thought arises. This space can be likened to a cloud without any sky without any clouds. It's an extremely peaceful, tranquil state of calmness, an extremely tranquil state of mind. And so what we do here is abide in this state of mind, which means simply letting this state of mind continue.
但是这个啊非常平静的状态呢不能啊不能持续很长时间，这是因为我们的修禅定的功夫还不到位不能持续很长时间，然后又会产生一个诞生了一个杂念啊，把这个宁静的状态会给打断扰乱这样子。但是没有关系的，这个时候我们又继续关注诞生的这个念头这样子循环的修。
Because we've only started out in meditation and we're not yet proficient in its practice, we won't be able to abide in this state for a particularly long period of time. Before too long, another thought will arise. But this is okay. We then go back to observing the arising of this thought and its abiding and continue this practice over again.
好，第四个第四个呢，然后有些时候我们看一看到底什么是念头到底什么叫做念头所诞生的这个念头，或者是所存在的这个念头，它到底是个什么样子呢去寻找去寻找它的本质去寻找它的，去看它的真相这样子的话，有可能如果我们在这个之前呢，四加心无加心修得比较好的话呢，有可能在这个寻找它的本质的过程当中会这个感受到空心。
The fourth stage that we move on to is examining the nature of these thoughts, the nature of their arising, the nature of their abiding. What is this thought in essence? And it's this process that if we have made a solid progress, or we've laid a solid foundation in our preliminary practices, that we may in fact be able to have an experience of a realization of emptiness whilst engaging in this examination of the nature or the fundamental essence of thought.
好，我们今天讲的这个第四个阶段的这个修法虽然是藏传佛教的密宗里面的修法，但是呢这个跟禅宗的这个忏华头这个修法是完全是一样的。
So this fourth stage that we have described about interrogating or examining the nature of thought, even though this is a practice from the Tibetan tantric tradition, it is in complete accordance with the Chan tradition of Hua Tou.
那么禅宗的忏华头是什么意思呢？首先是华头和华尾首先要知道这两个。话头和话尾是什么？比如说我们念佛的时候念佛和禅可以结合起来修这个就像 这是近代最伟大的这个韩传佛教的高僧徐运那老法师，他讲的这个静啊静禅双运啊净土和禅宗的一个结合的修法，叫做禅净双运的修法啊。那么这当中提到的，就是华头是，比如说我们像念一句南无阿弥陀佛这样子的一句话的时候啊，当我们把这句话没有念出来的时候，没有说出来的时候啊，我们正要像要念这个啊这句话，但是还没有念出来的是之前啊，这个前面的叫做话头。
So in terms of what 话头 or the head of a of speech on the tail of speech is, we're to understand this in terms of the teaching of the Chan tradition, which actually combines Chan and the Pure Land practice into one, as in the teachings of the modern Chinese Buddhist master, Master Xun Yun. In this case, when we refer to the head of a speech,or a word, we're talking about the moment before, say, the Buddha's name, Namu Amitofo, is uttered, the moment when we are preparing to utter the word and intending to utter it, but before the words are actually uttered themselves.
那么话为是什么呢？就当我们把这句话说出来了以后啊，南无阿弥陀佛这个字说出来了以后，说完了以后呢，这就叫做话尾啊，话尾、话头和话尾。
So the end of a word or the end, the tail end of the speech is after we have finished speaking these words, they have been uttered.
然后忏话头，忏是什么意思呢？就是当我们还没有把这个南无阿弥陀佛几个字念出来之前，我想念这个啊南无阿弥陀佛的时候的这个念头还没有出来的时候，去看啊，看这个时候的状态是什么样子，这个就叫做忏话头。
When we refer to 参话头, we're talking to examining the state of mind before the idea arises or before the intention arises to recite the Buddha's name.
这个时候呢，它参话头的作用是什么呢？当这句话还没有念出来的时候，心的我们的心的这个状态是什么样子，它去观察，它去感受的时候呢，在这个过程当中，他有可能啊，接触到我们的心的本心啊，这个用禅宗的话来讲，这个叫做明心见性。
And the benefit or the function of examining the state of mind before the intention arises to utter the Buddha's name is that in this moment it is possible for us to discover or to have realization of the basic nature of mind.
在藏传佛教的密宗里面呢，虽然不叫参话头，它没有这种话头话尾这样子的说法，但是呢，实际上这两个是一个意思，就是这个有些时候呢，我们回头再观察一下，到底这个诞生的和存在的这个念头，到底它是一个什么样子？什么叫做念头呢？观察这时候呢，去感受啊，也不仅仅是一个思考的逻辑的观察，它不仅仅是一个逻辑观察，而且是一个直觉。用一个直觉去感受感悟啊，那这时候呢，我们有可能啊，加心修得比较好的话，有可能我们直接就感受到它的本质。
So even though the Tibetan tantric tradition doesn't have the practice of searching for the origin or the beginning of a speech and then the end or its tail like the Chan tradition, nevertheless.This process of interrogating the nature of the arising thought and the nature of its abiding is in fact the same kind of practice. If we have practiced the preliminary practice as well, then it's possible at this point, through engaging in this practice, that we may well, the thing is, this is not just a logical procedure. It's not just something that we are applying our minds to conceptually, but it's something also that we are engaging in as an experiential practice. It's something that we are aiming to gain experiential realization of, and it's possible that we may gain insight into the nature of our minds through doing this.
我们的念头啊，平时我们是用来啊感受外面的这个世界啊，我们一直都用我们的这个心，用我们的今生去感受啊外面的世界。然后这个时候呢，我们的所有的这个注意力都不在这个念头本身啊上面，我们的这个注意力都在这个外面的世界，这外面的世界好或者不好啊等等啊，我们去分析外面的东西，我们不去关注它。这个分析，去分析的这个，去分析外面的这个世界的这个东西，它是什么？我们从来都不关注它的。
Usually, we spend our time, we devote our mental energies to observing phenomena in the external world around us. We're caught up in this process of observing the external world. We pay relatively little attention to our minds as it is perceiving these things in the outside world.
比如说我们用照相机来拍照片的时候啊，那么我们的注意力都在这个照片的上面，我们看这个照片拍得好或者不好，我们看这个照片上的风景，照片上的人物，我们的所有的这个注意力都在这个上面，而不在这个照相机上面。
It's like when we are taking a photo, all of our attention is taken up with the contents of the photo, its composition, the people inside it, the elements of the picture we're taking. Our attention is not directed to the camera itself.
这个时候如果我们懂得去关注这个照相机啊，这个机器为什么拍出一个这样子的图片呢？我们去深入的去思考的话，有可能啊很多的秘密就不在这个图片上，而就在这个机器里面，我们会发现很多很多奥秘。
In fact, if we were able to turn our attention to the camera itself and to ask how is it that it's taking the photo it is, we might discover all kinds of mysteries and secrets.
然后同样的，我们画画的时候呢，我们的所有的这个注意力就是这个画出来的这幅画啊上面啊，我们不会去关注这个画画的笔他为什么画出一个这样子的画呢啊，那么画画的这个人他为什么能够画出一个这样子的画呢，我们都不关注，我们的注意力都在这幅画上面。
And it's the same when we're painting pictures. We're entirely consumed with the picture that we're painting on the canvas in front of us. We're not concerned with how it is that the brush in our hand is able to paint this picture, or how it is that the person itself is able to engage in the painting of the picture.
所以我们啊，只知道这个照片上的这个人物和图像，不知道照相机的秘密啊。然后呢，我们只知道这幅画画的好与不好，但是我们不知道这个画的这个画家啊，他用什么样的笔啊等等。我们因为我们没有去关注这个，我们不知道。同样的，我们只知道这个外面的世界是什么样的啊。但是我们不知道以什么东西去感受到了外面的世界，能够感受到外面的世界的这个东西是什么啊？我们不知道的。
So it's just as we are oriented or focused on the photo we're taking and not the camera, the painting we're observing and not the painter. It's exactly the same with the external world. We are consumed with what is being seen and the things in the external world and not the perceiver or the apparatus that is perceiving them.
那么现在我们啊，就是回头来研究这个照相机，它为什么要拍出一个这能拍出一个这样子的照片啊？然后回头再研究啊，这个画家他为什么画这样子的画，他的想法是什么啊？然后我们第三就是我们回头再最终我们研究啊，我的这个心啊，经常都在感受外面的世界，我没有关注它是什么，我只关注了外面的世界是什么啊。那么现在呢，回头我要感受一下，感受外面的世界的这个东西啊，我要感受一下它，我要看一下它到底是什么东西啊。这样子的时候呢，我们会发现啊，一个更重要的秘密。
So it's just like going back, retracing our footsteps and going back to looking at the camera that is taking the photograph or the mind of the artist that's painting the picture. We need to turn our attention to the perceiver, the apparatus that is perceiving the external world as we know it.
有可能我们在这个过程当中发现一个非常非常奇妙的世界，这是我们自己的内心的世界。
In fact, doing this will enable us to discover all kinds of mysteries and secrets. And in fact, what we may discover is, in fact, a world within ourselves, our inner world.
真正的非常奇妙的、非常精彩的啊，然后非常神奇的啊东西呢，不是外面的这个世界，而是我们的人的精神。
Really, the most amazing and extraordinary things are not to be found in the external world around us, but rather within the depths of our own minds.
这个神奇的啊世界，稍微我们对它有一点点对它有一点点这个接触啊，有一点感受的时候呢。我们一定会对他非常非常感兴趣。从此以后呢，我们不认为修心是一件很枯燥的事情修心是一件很痛苦的事情。从此以后没有这种想法，我们对修心非常感兴趣的。
From the point that we are able to have some taste or some insight into this mysterious world of our own minds,practice and meditation will no longer appear to us as a very boring and dull task at all. In fact, we will become extremely interested in it.
那么我们今天讲的呢，就是通过这个方法来禅修，主要讲的是通过这个方法把我们的心啊平静下来，这个就叫做这个极致啊，还不是。真武啊，还不是真武，只是说顺便说，如果我们的家心修得比较到位，一切的条件都比较成熟的话，那么就是有可能在这个当中啊，真悟空性啊，这是有可能而已。实际上，这个不是修空性，实际上是修极致啊。所谓的极致，就是心平静啊，心平静，非常宁静的状态，叫做。
So what we have described tonight is a shamatha technique of meditation, which is oriented to bringing our minds into a state of peace and a state of calmness. We have said that it is possible if the preliminary practices have been well completed and other conditions are mature, that it is possible for a person in this state to have some...to experience a realization of emptiness. However, this is not what this meditation is in terms of its primary function. It is a shamatha meditation technique, which is to bring the mind into calmness.
好，这个就是一个具体的修法，具体的方法，很实际的一个这个修法，这样子叫做实修这叫做实修。那么这个实修 还有在这个过程当中我们需要注意的地方啊，或者是出现一些问题的话就不会有什么太大问题，但是我们比如说注意力分散啊，或者是有些时候很昏沉啊等等的这些小问题啊，出现这些问题的时候怎么样解决啊，以及其他的一些相关的这个方法知识啊，我们要更加的去了解。但是这个我们因为今天是时间的关系没有时间去讲，但是我们可以去啊看这个慧灯之光啊，里面有啊这个禅修方面的很多很多的这个资料啊，大家可以去学习啊，通过这个资料就其他的问题都大家都可以明白的。
So what we've described tonight is a concrete and practical method of meditation practice. In general, there aren't too many things that we need to be careful of or cautious of in terms of this practice, but common issues like our minds wandering or feeling tired or dull in our practice are things that we do need to learn more about and learn how to cope with. Tonight, due to time constraints, we won't have the opportunity to go into these issues in any detail. However, there is a lot of discussion and a lot of explanation of these things in the Wisdom Light book series.
然后我们如果能够每天啊安排一个小时左右的时间，一个小时到两个小时左右的时间来修啊，我们这几天讲的这个出离心、菩提心，还有昨天讲的空心和今天讲的这个禅修啊，那么这个顺序呢，昨天我们讲的这个空心应该是最后了啊，先是出离心，然后就是菩提心，然后就是今天我们讲的这个禅修啊，最后是啊，这个最后就是昨天讲的这个空性。那么这四个不同的修法的顺序就是这样子啊。那我们每一天都能够安排一两个小时的时间去修这些修法的话，那么一定会有啊，一定会有成就，一定会有进步的。
If we're able to allocate between 1 or 2 hours every single day to the practice of renunciation, bodhicitta, emptiness, and the shamatha meditation practice that we described tonight, then it is certain that we will yield results in our practice. The proper order should be followed, so beginning with renunciation, then bodhicitta, andRather than move on to emptiness, that actually should be the fourth stage or the final stage of our practice. The practice, the shamatha practice that we described tonight, would be the third stage, and after that, we would move on to emptiness.
希望大家就安排一些时间来修那么。因为我们的这个每个人的情况不一样，可能有些人可以多安排一点时间，有些人呢可能没有办法安排太多的时间，但是呢我相信每一个人至少每一天呢就安排就40分钟一个小时，哪怕是30分钟啊，这个每一个人完全都可以做得到的啊，就是用这样子的时间去修的话，时间长了也会有进步的。
I really hope that everybody is able to set aside time for meditation practice. Of course, everyone's circumstances vary. Some people have more time than others. However, even if we're able to dedicate 40 minutes or half an hour to the practices we described this evening, then with accumulation of time, sure results will definitely follow.
物质啊，赚钱对我们在家人来说是非常重要的，这个我们都能够理解。但是呢，我们千万不能作为一个只懂得物质的价值的人啊，除了物质以外，所有其他东西都认为是没有价值的啊，千万不能做一个这样子的人。
Making money and material things are, of course, important to lay people. However, we can't afford to be people who only understand the value of material things and don't appreciate the value of non-material things. We, by no means can we afford to be like this.
好，今天的我们的这个课啊，就讲完了。好，我们最后回向，我们大家一起回向。
Sonam de tam jo zuba nyan to ne ni be da na ban she ja je ga na je wa lo zu ba zhi bin zu le zu a zu ro sho om a hum ban zhe ge re ba ma se de hum om a hum ban zhe ge re ba maSe de hong, om a hong ban zeng ge re ba ma. Se de hong,
谢谢大家，阿弥陀佛。